Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. And I want to remind you of the call-in number. It's 323-203-0815. And I want to take a moment to thank the One Institute for bringing us to be here with you each and every Thursday. And I want to thank LA Talk Radio for broadcasting us on other nights of the week on both channels. We're not live on those times. And remember, anytime you want to hear a show, you just go to our archives on latalkradio.com and listen to your heart's content. Dr. Allen, you're live on the air. How's it going?
I'm grateful to be alive and on the air.
I know, right? It's amazing.
I think it's amazing. If I knew 86 was this good, I'd have got here sooner.
Oh my goodness, you are so hilarious.
What?
You are so hilarious. Hey, we have a caller. Do we want to talk to someone?
Why not?
All right, let's rock and roll. I'm gonna tell our switchboard we're rocking, ready to go. Okay, caller, you are live with Dr. Allen in the hot seat. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Allen. Can you hear me?
Hi there. I was thinking about you. Do you want me to use your first name?
No, I like the way that you don't use first names on here, but I am curious what you were thinking about.
Well, I thought about you, and I wondered if you were going to call. So I was having a psychic moment. And you said your name on the last call. You used your name. I'm not going to say it because you haven't given me permission. So you want to remain anonymous?
I guess I can put it out there. My name is Brian. If you say I said it before.
Okay, you said it. You did say it in the midst of a statement. So are you comfortable with me saying, I wonder if Brian's going to call today? Because you represent the whole species of maleness. I want more men to call.
That would certainly be good. It's also nice to me to hear male callers from my perspective, because it's nice to be able to hear the female stuff, but it's different, especially from where I am too with things, which is in the early dating, as opposed to a lot of the callers you got.
Very good, very good. So, Brian, what can we do for you?
Okay, Dr. Pat. So, I certainly have a couple questions, but I'm going to narrow it down to one. So, I have somebody that I have been seeing physically. We've gone out on. We've gone out a couple of times, and I've taken her out, and I like her. I also have somebody else that's a longer distance away, and meeting up with her is probably more than a month away. And in some ways, she's more careful, but she said, all right, you know, I'd be willing to go for a walk sometime. But to even get to a walk would be a couple-hour drive for each of us. So my question is, if I have two people, I know duty dating, the three dates, but after you get past three dates with somebody and you're interested, is there kind of like an in-between period between making somebody your girlfriend and going beyond duty dating?
Very much so. The first question that a man says to a woman that he's romantically interested in because there's chemistry, which I can't inject in people. I can only tell you that upon the timing of a fourth date, you have to know if you have enough chemistry to start a relationship sometime. Doesn't mean it has to be on the fourth date, but the signal that I have found in 50 years of being a therapist, that's a long time, is a man says, I saw you're still on the app for dating. Why? You're dating me. And I teach women to say, we're dating, but you haven't asked me to be exclusive. Do you want me to consider myself your girlfriend? So,
Okay.
Yes, I want you to consider yourself my girlfriend. So if I was with a woman and you, I would say, now it's time for you to say, you know what? I do not want to have intercourse unless you are sexually and socially monogamous. You don't run back up on the app and put yourself up in the available list again because you know you don't want to get diseases, but you don't know if you want to be monogamous. So monogamy sexually and socially, then there is the issue of continuity. How far apart do you live? You know, are you an all-night worker so that you can't date physically, which is starting to come back on our horizon? And how often does she want you to call her? Well, first of all, you have to decide if you want to be respected by the woman or you want to be cherished. People think that I want everybody with a penis to be respectable and everybody with a vagina to be cherishable, and that's not so. There is 18% of men marrying today that are marrying to stay home and cook and clean and take care of the kids. Staying home as a cherishable, feminine-based person, man or woman, is fine as long as they find somebody that they respect enough that will help pay the bills for this little family. So there's monogamy sexually and socially that you start to talk about when you ask the fair maiden to stop dating other people and to get off the website. And then there's continuity, which is how often do you want to be seen? How far apart do we live? You know, are we long distance? Shall we fly to each other once a month? Blah, 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 blah. Continuity. And then there's a third one. Now, this one is called long-term plans. And you remember this week there was an interview between Prince Harry and the Fair Maiden. Do you recall that?
Oh, it was hard to miss. It's been everywhere.
I know that, dear. I'm just milking you of information. Now,
right.
Here is something that I teach regularly that I'm going to put on the air tonight. It's finding out the long-term plan for this relationship. Are you into mating, which is monogamy, sexually and socially, continuity, and no legal marriage? No legal marriage. Or do you want to be legally married? And we know what that is, that's marriage. If that
right.
be the case, it could be that you'll do a prenup, pre-engagement counseling session with each other on the issue of time, space, money, and play, and read chapter 14 in my book, Getting to I Do. Got that one?
Yes, I think I have more than one copy of it.
Wait a minute. I want to add the one that has to do with the royal interview. And that one is, do you or I want a nuclear family in which there's a person that is the head of the family, and that person sets the rules for children, relatives, friends, enemies, everybody, and they probably have enough money to threaten people, if you don't do it my way, you're out of my will. Now that's nuclear. Before the Second World War, Japan was very nuclear. The Latino cultures have been very Latino, nuclear. But there's another style that showed up in the interview. It's called cellular, that each person in the family is considered an individual, and they visit each other for holidays, and they do things according to rituals, but there's no one running the show of the family. So that's the newest, latest data. I have a diagram of it, and I haven't taught it on the radio because I just haven't. But I did now. And what's interesting is that the people that saw it understood that what it takes two generations to do is to go from a nuclear family style to a cellular, or a cellular style to a nuclear. Got it?
Yes, that is interesting. I hadn't heard of the cellular style. Nuclear, of course, has been around for quite a long time.
But not the cellular. So, but cellular is quite cultural and quite cultural and religious. It's understandable, but it's coming up in the paperworks right now.
It sounds more adaptive and inclusive, and not patriarchal or
yes.
It's really a leader on each side. So yes,
mostly
it's
adapting to the couple gets to talk about nuclear and cellular before they get engaged or before they get married. In the process of monogamy, sexually and socially, continuity on the phone and dating, and long-term plans and styles for the family.
Well, yes, that sounds good. I would say I've talked more about that with the long-distance person, but of course that's more complicated with her being long-distance. The other one,
I know,
literally right around the corner from me, her situation is a little bit up in the air because she's from another country, and she has to get some things together to be able to stay here for an extended time. And her, I've seen, and I think there's at least
a little. Do you know that getting an engagement gives you almost an easy path into a 6-month visa?
Yes, she's in the middle, I think, of her 6 month right now. But you're saying if you get engaged again, you get another 6 months?
I don't know that one.
Okay.
I know she's in her- that they give this. This is particularly for soldiers that are marrying people from other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she will have already done that, but she's looking to do work here, and I may be able to help her since we do similar kinds of work. I've definitely given her some ideas, but I don't know how far I want to help her before I know what we are, since we've only been out a couple of times.
Are also, you ready to ask her to stop dating other people, which is the sign that you want a monogamous, continuous, long-term relationship?
No.
Are you ready
I don't think
to
I
ask
know
her that?
Well, no. Because I don't know I don't know her well enough.
Then would you be so kind as to not throw her away because she's still dating other men?
I
see you're
well,
still
okay,
on the website.
Answer to that is, yes, the answer to that is yes. She, I'm not planning to throw her away. I do want to see her and get to know her better, and I'm not planning on doing that, but I may not have a decision, and I'm glad that you said it, that you don't have to have a decision about if you want to be in a relationship with this person or not after three dates, but to decide whether you have at least some chemistry, so that would be a possibility. And yes, there is that she responded to me at the end of the last date that gave me an indication that there's definitely something on her side too, even though we haven't talked about it verbally.
Well, then, do you want to ask her yet to stop dating other men, or do you want to give it more time open?
No, definitely want to give it more time open. Plus,
then
I want
that's
to see,
your answer.
Yes, and I want to see what's going on with the person who lives a further distance, because she said she would be open to meeting, and I like her better. The only problem is we haven't been face to face except on the computer, but we had a nice Zoom call where she told me more about her, and I was grateful to hear about that.
Fine. So is this question fulfilled?
Yes, that one is, and I know you, I imagine you have some other callers. Eventually, I
yes,
want to hear about
I do.
Lying for love, but, I'm sure we'll get to it sometime.
Okay. Did you get enough to call back?
Of course. If I have the time, I will certainly ring you up.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Well, I appreciate talking to you, Dr. Pat, and I will certainly be listening in to what some of the others have to say.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. Glad you called. Okay, Dr. Allen, got some more calls coming in. So our Ronan at the switchboard, who is always amazing, is going to get us another one of our callers. We'll put him in the hot seat and see what goes on.
Good.
Well, we're waiting for that. I remind everybody that the One Institute is a 501c3, which means your donation is tax deductible and it will keep us on the air. Oh, you're live.
Hi, Pat. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
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 Hi. I'm so excited to be talking to you both tonight.
I'm so glad you're calling. Without people like you, we wouldn't be on the air.
And I'm so fortunate for both of you. I'm calling today because I kind of have two questions for you about two different scenarios that I'm encountering.
Okay, let's see if we can do them.
Great. So the first scenario is that, you know, a man has been dating me. And in a recent conversation that I had with him, he disclosed to me that he doesn't have any male friends and that all of his friends are female. Pat, I kind of want to get your take on this. I'm just kind of curious to know your thoughts on men who don't have any relationships with other men. Is he more feminine or is he able just to be more vulnerable? I'm curious to know what your thoughts are.
Any man that is giving, protecting, and cherishing women to the degree that he is literally desirable to women is a gentleman.
Okay.
And so he apparently knows How to Cherish Women, says, now remember, women are now very, very narcissistic. They want respect and cherishing. And I spend a significant amount of time on this radio show teaching women to prioritize respect against cherishing. And 99% of women want to be cherished by the men they're with, but they don't want to give up their right to be respected. So there's a little bit too much narcissism amongst women that want to be respected and cherished just because they've got good jobs, thank God. Do you see? So the first thing I ask a woman is, do you want to be respected or do you want to be cherished? Many of them say, I want to be cherished, because they've been raised to be boys in their script messages from mom, dad, politics, business. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that he's feminine. It could easily mean that he is both feminine and masculine, male. I would be interested to know if he's right or left-handed.
I don't know yet. I haven't met him in person, but we've gotten to the point where, you know, I kind of told him my boundaries around meeting in person after having a number of virtual dates and phone calls with him to get to know him. And so we are planning to get COVID tested next week. So I haven't met him yet, but I don't know if he is right or left-handed, but kind of judging based on what you said, he is very kind and cherishing to me, because he was very respectful, or just so kind when I told him why I wasn't comfortable meeting me yet. He didn't shame me, and he even offered to get COVID tested without me even having to say anything. He's like, if you ever want to meet
him,
do
you
future,
understand what you're saying? Mm-hmm. You're saying that he was assertive. You were saying that he is very respected by women, do you see? And it may very easily be that other men that he knows are not gentlemen. You see, a boy up to the age of 10 must be respected by a female. It could be an adoption mother, it could be a grandma, it could be a sister, it could be a mother. But a man, a boy man, takes about 10 years to get enough respect from the major woman in his life. There's a wonderful book called The War Against Boys by Summers, and it's about how too many mothers now, unmarried mothers who want babies and have babies, and some of them are boys and some of them are girls, very often are raising their sons to be too feminine. Don't wear that shirt, I don't like it, blah, 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 blah. You know, don't be like that next door neighbor boy. He's so gruff, he's so tawdry, you see? And that's a woman that's raising a boy by herself, usually, and she has got a decision that she wants him to be a gentleman by the age of 10. Girls have to be cherished by a father figure by the age of 8. And the book for that one is Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard, which tells the impact of a father on his daughter, which is Freud's work. And the book War Against Boys by Summers is about masculine, powerful mothers molding their sons into gentlemen, you know, too early. We need that boy to be a man, not a girl by training. That's not the way nature's built it. So he may have been raised by a respectful mother that taught him to be a gentleman. And he may seem almost to be gay. I get so many women say, oh, he's so loving. He's so feminine. And I say, how did he get you if he's that feminine? You see?
That's really interesting that you mentioned earlier about his ability to be masculine and feminine, because I kind of get the sense that he is alpha. And right now he's on a sabbatical from work, but before that he was like basically a high powered tech executive, and he went to like Ivy League business school and had like a
Do you realize background. That you've got a jewel there?
Yeah.
Are you too masculine for him? Are you disrespectful?
No. Absolutely not. I've been very kind to him, and I've done so much work to not be masculine, not be a man hater. I've done months. I went through EMDR.
Goodness, great.
Yeah.
And read the book. I want to say the book. Francine Shapiro created EMDR, which is for traumatized people, and she wrote a book, Getting Past Your Past, which is a foundation book for the work EM, Eye Movement Rapid Desensitization, which is working with wounds from your childhood, you know, whether it's divorce or molestation or whatever it is, you've got to deal with these things. So he sounds like his brain and his heart work together. And that's a very gifted person, well-trained.
Okay, thank you for affirming that, Pat. I feel like that really helps, especially that comment that you told me. I just have never really encountered a man like him before, so I wasn't really quite sure. But saying what you said definitely made me feel a lot better. I mean, I really enjoy
you, but you definitely are not talking to a man that isn't a man, but he's also a woman, and that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Men have male bodies, but they have female souls called the anima. We have female bodies. We're built to receive sperm cells and make babies. They're built to give us sperm cells, you see, and will protect us when we have babies. There are four people in every relationship, two men and two women, whether you're straight, gay, or lesbian. I don't change any of my work with gay people or lesbians. It's all the same. It's energy. And the book on that is by Carl Jung's wife, Eva. It's called Anima Animus.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Pat, for your perspective on that. That definitely really helped me understand things. So the second question and scenario that I have for you is, over the years, you know, you've kind of helped me guide through a really complicated family situation. Just like as a high level, my mom passed away 4.5 years ago. My dad is a sociopath. My brother is a mini sociopath. So after her death, I've kind of been locked in a 4-year legal battle with my to kind of protect myself from my brother, my dad, taking me of my inheritance.
I know that.
Yes. I've talked about it a lot with you.
I can't do a thing about that.
Yeah. So I'm in a situation because I have finally taken over as trustee of my mom's estate, and I'm in charge now. And I need to sell one property left in the estate, and we are using a specific realtor, which I chose. Because he knew my mom and he knows our family. And so, you know,
your brains, I think your instincts are accurate.
Okay. So I'm having an issue with this realtor because, you know, when my brother was trustee, you know, he helped us sell a property, and my brother, before he resigned, kind of gave him a high level of what had gone on over the last 4 years, because he hadn't talked to us since then. And so,
well,
in my
you're
recent conversation,
talking to a therapist, you're not talking to a lawyer. Get to a lawyer.
No, I have a lawyer. So I'm talking to the realtor.
Well, what are you
because
asking
I need
me for.
Yeah. So basically, what's happening? I'm just trying to explain the situation to give more context.
Why?
If that's okay.
Why
because
are you
basically
explaining to a therapist about real estate lawsuits?
No. Basically, what I want to ask is that this realtor, and now that I've taken over, I'm working with this realtor in a business perspective. And in the last
yes.
two conversations I've had with him, he has brought up his opinion that he does not like the fact that I have lawyers involved in this situation.
Honey, I don't based care off of, what he's saying, as long as you're an authority.
Yeah, so anyway.
He has a right to be wacko. Until
yeah,
you have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, he's just a neurotic wacko.
Yeah. But he's good at what he does. So, you know, when he brings it up, honestly, it makes me upset. And, you know, I've just shut up until now.
When
and
doubt,
I haven't
shut your mouth.
So I was asking you if it was okay for me to bring up a script, to bring up the
a
conversation.
What?
I wanted to know whether or not you think it would be okay for me to use the tools to bring up that I'm uncomfortable with him injecting his opinion on my decisions, and that I would like for him
to
just.
What you need to do is simply use my tools to not talk to him when you don't want to talk to him. You can't stop
okay.
him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All you can do is to say, I appreciate you wanting to give me that advice, but to be very honest, you may talk to my lawyer, but I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
Put him in charge of going to your lawyer with information. Don't try to deal
yeah.
with him. He sounds like a gamey person, and gamey people are powerful, way more powerful than normal people. Evil is more powerful than good. Insanity is more powerful than sanity. You understand that? Powerful. Not potent,
mm-hmm.
but they can run you over. I want you to give him to your lawyer to discuss whatever he wants to discuss and listen to what your lawyer tells you to do.
Yeah, well, you know, I've sold property before, and I'm just dealing with him, like, as in, you know, taking care of the logistics of making decisions on
don't
selling the house.
Personalize him.
Okay, great.
You
so
wanna,
it's, I will.
You want to build a friendship with him? Ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
He was
yeah, I don't,
hired
I don't,
for your family by your brother that doesn't like you either.
I did. Actually, it was my choice. Specifically because my brother is also a real estate agent, and he wanted to sell the property, and I said over my dead body, we're going to use this guy. So I did hire
so
him technically.
Well, then you made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Can you fire him?
I'll talk to my lawyers, but we have it in a legal agreement that we are to use him. So.
So. What you're trying to do is make nice relationship. Can't be done.
Yeah. So would it be okay if I just, all I do is just talk shop with him, and then that's it, and I just don't say anything,
that's all.
And I just
that's
deal with
all.
It? Okay.
That's all.
All right.
That's it. That's
okay.
what I'm saying right now. Business only.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go ahead. I'll make sure to limit my interactions with him to
very
only.
Very good.
I mean,
very good.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you so much, Pat, for
You're
your help.
Welcome.
I really appreciate everything.
Good. I'm glad. Bye.
Thank you, caller. All right. Well, let's see what we've got going on here. Oh, I've lost Dr. Pat. Well, We should be getting Dr. Pat back, and hopefully we'll be getting another caller. By the way, sign up. Hi, Dr. Allen. We lost you there for a minute. Glad you're back.
Yeah, the phone hung up. Anyway, do we have another dear soul?
I believe we do. Ronan is calling now. All right. So Ronan is calling now. We had a little hitch there, so we're unhitching, getting it all figured out. Well, you're live on the air, Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hello there. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I am grateful to have the opportunity to talk to you tonight. So I've got a question for you, Dr. Pat, around a hi-bye letter that I sent.
Oh, my. Did you get dumped, or did you dump, or did you make a mistake? What is the purpose of your hi-bye?
Yeah, so about 3 years ago, I was with someone who was separated but not divorced.
Do you understand women marry when they have sex, when they allow penises in their mouth, anus, or vagina? Men marry when they sign documents that will require them to pay bills. So
yeah.
You thought he wasn't married, but he was totally married.
All right, it's a sensitive topic, Dr. Pat. So, it's fine. We've talked many times, you and I, Dr. Pat, about this, and you recommended I write the hi-bye. I've written them before.
I understand.
He didn't break
that.
Up with, yeah. I didn't dump him. I dumped him, I guess, but I didn't want to. I loved him and he loved me, but it just didn't work at the time. And
what didn't work? Were you too masculine? What didn't work?
Just,
I want to know.
Well, I think that for me, I didn't want to be with someone who was obviously married, and I really avoided him for many years. And when I saw him again, he was separated, and I felt it was our chance that we could really try. It wasn't ideal, but I want you to know
once he got his penis into your mouth, anus, or vagina, you were bonded to him. He was not bonded to you. He was bonded to his wife because she cost money.
Yes, I agree with that. But he is an older man, so I do think we have bonded. We bonded, and as much as I understand and I agree with what you're saying, I was very, you know, I was very vigilant in how I entered it. I wasn't.
I want you to understand you made a mistake.
I
and
did.
And what can I do for you about it now?
Okay.
Are you writing another hi-bye?
No. Okay. So I've written hi-byes in the past. They were effective, but for whatever reason, I was very, you know, we were triggered and it didn't work out. I reached out to him last year when a loved one of mine was dying. And I needed some help at the time. He was happy to help me, but anyway, I was supposed to write a hi-bye. I wrote
a
letter.
Oh, you didn't write it. You did not write it.
Yeah, I did write it, Dr. Pat, but I feel that I've made it a mistake, because in the hi-byes I've written before, I know the format, I know everything. They're very, very effective. They're amazing. But in this particular one that I sent Dr. Pat, I did not include the paragraphs about my pain or the lessons I've learned. I just closed up, I think, and I didn't want to be that vulnerable again.
You wanted to be a man. You didn't want to be a woman. You didn't want to be receptive, available to receive, and respecting of this human being. You became transformed. Your soul, the animus, took over your body and your brain, and you didn't write the hi-bye letter accurately.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to rewrite it?
I do want to rewrite it. I think the reason that, I mean, I wrote the hi bye, but I had written a host of grief cards to different people who I felt were really supportive in my journey when I was losing my loved one last year. And so I wrote him a thank you card for supporting me, and I put the letter in there. And I think because I've been in mourning, I've been doing a lot of soul searching, and I do want to write again, Dr. Pat. So I wrote the letter. He gave me his home address. I sent it there. And then I followed up like 2 weeks later just to make sure, because it didn't have a return address. I said, I sent you mail. I just want to know, have you received it? And he didn't get back to me. So now we're like, I just want to know what to do from this point. Do I follow up via text on that? Do I write another letter? I'm not clear, Dr. Pat.
Well, why don't you rewrite the hi bye letter and send it certified mail?
I do know that we're still connected with the heart. I haven't been with anyone else. I don't know. I feel kind of hopeless about it.
Do you want to say hi to him or bye?
I think I want to say I miss him so much, but he refuses to talk to me. He refuses to get on a phone call with me.
You're using the fact that it might not have gotten to his hands.
Okay.
So I just asked you to get certified mail that he got the letter.
So here's the other thing, because it was weird to me when I asked him if I could send him something that he gave me his address, because I feel that that's where his kids and family is. So
right, right. What did he say?
I texted to say, hey, did you get that letter? And he didn't respond. So I'm asking you, should I send up another text to see if I can follow up one more time?
I'm saying. Send the letter, but do it completely. Paragraph one, the pleasure of him. Paragraph two, the pain of losing him and him neglecting you. Paragraph three, I don't want to be alone. I want to be with a man like you or you. Two, four, I don't want, you write first in third paragraph, I don't want to be alone. I want another chance. And paragraph four, I want you to consider talking to me. And paragraph five, thank you for reading this and especially calling me and telling me that you do or you don't want to have any more relating between us. I appreciate what we did have, and I accept if you don't want any more. That's a high bye with the emphasis on bye, with a little high.
Okay.
But for your peace of mind, send it certified mail. Do you have an address? Did he give you his address?
Yeah, he gave me his address, but I moved out of the state I was in, and I'm traveling for a few months, and I haven't picked a new home yet, so I don't have a return address really at this time.
Post office box.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I will. I haven't done it at this point. So
understand you don't want the answer you're afraid of?
Yes,
it does not sound like he wants you. Do you want proof? Yes or no?
I guess so.
Well, then if you do, then you have to do it very legally. Certified letters, post office boxes. or you have to wait until the months are over with and then send them with less vigilance.
Okay.
You're still mated. I can hear you bonding.
Yes. Yes.
Well, then do you want to get the bottom line or don't you?
I do.
Well, if you do, then do what I told you here.
Okay. Would you suggest that I send another message saying, listen, I'm not sure if you got it. I haven't heard back from you, so I am sending you something else, certified mail, just so you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but why are you warning him? Why don't you just send certified mail? If he refuses it, it'll come back to you or your mailbox.
Oh. Well, the thing is, Dr. Pat, is that if certified mail means anyone at the house could accept it, and I feel uncomfortable if his partner is accepting it, you know, or I don't know that it's a safe place for me to send certified mail.
I got it. I don't hear that it's the right time to write him anything. You want to continue being married to him.
That's not true.
Wait a minute.
I
you said you're not dating other people. There's only two ways
to get over bonding.
What?
I have other men have come into my life, and I have tried. I just haven't really been able to do that.
I know that, dear, because you're married to this man bonding-wise. I hear it. You're in love with him. I got it. You don't want to know the answer.
No, I mean, I do want to know the answer. I keep putting myself out. I don't know. So
he sounds like he doesn't want you. You've already contacted him, and he didn't fulfill your request. Are you willing to take his neglect as no?
Yes.
And is his partner a man or a woman?
A woman.
So he's already mated with somebody else.
No, he went back into his old relationship after I broke up with him.
Oh, he's mating back with, you're the one that's been thrown out.
No, I haven't been thrown out. I was the one that ended it with him, you know.
That's why you're pursuing him, because you made a mistake. But you didn't write out the mistake clearly.
I have in the past. I've written him a couple times in the past. He's very aware of my pain.
And did he answer you? And did he answer you?
The first time I wrote it, yes. He said, I hope we can get through this and evolve in a richer manner together.
And what did he say the second time?
And then the second time, a year later, he didn't say anything.
That's called no.
I
don't
know.
Want you.
I don't fully agree with that, but that's fine.
To stay married to him as long as you're comfortable.
I'm not comfortable.
Then you're a pain addict that doesn't want to be comfortable. Do you have a tendency to ruin pleasant experiences, relationships? Are you a norepinephrine addict?
Yes, I have been in the past.
Have you read A Taste for Pain by Maria Marcos?
I've heard of it, obviously, through you, Dr. Pat, but I haven't read it.
Well, then you don't want to know that you're addicted to norepinephrine, what in God's name did your mom and dad do that caused you so much pain? You're addicted to the chemistry that is created with pain, which is norepinephrine, which is a neurotransmitter.
You know, I know because I was your student. I went through the Want Institute, Dr. Pat. We've been through this. I know what my blueprint is, and I recognize that there are norepinephrine addiction tendencies. But the truth is that that relationship ended, and then I lost my grandmother, who was the closest person. And I'm just grieving, like, losing both of them. Very, you know, I made a mistake, but I don't know why, you know, I haven't been able to get on the same page with him, or just, I don't know why it hasn't worked out.
I'll tell you why, because he doesn't want you.
Okay, Dr. Pat.
If he wanted you, he would have responded the way a man does. I'm just telling you, you have no evidence. You've admitted that your high bi letter, at least one of them, was not accurately stated. You're still grieving over the loss of him. And I've said, well, rewrite the letter correctly and see if you can get him to come back.
Okay, but the thing is I don't feel comfortable sending it certified mail.
Then send it regular mail, but send it in a more official, like, container, something that isn't just a letter. Maybe it is going to be a from the post office.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And don't put your name on it. Put the address. Put the post office box, but don't signal on the outside.
Okay.
Use the post office.
And if I don't do that, then my other option is just to completely let all of this go and release all communication and just let go, let God at this point. Is that the other best? Those seem like the only two options really I have.
One is to avoid him, and the other one is to date other men until somebody steals you from him. Those are the two ways to get over bonding. Be unfaithful with other men, or stay away from him. Any pictures of him? Do you have a picture of him anywhere in your house, in your wallet?
No.
Do you have any clothing? Do you have any reminders of him?
No.
Okay, then you're just thinking about him. You're basically just bonded to him chemically. You think about him in agony regularly.
I'm just wondering, Dr. Pat, if it would be supportive for me to, I'm open to writing the letter again. Like you said, if he doesn't want me based on what I've done so far, then I don't know what the point is in writing the letter.
The writing the letter is the bottom line. Thank you for reading this far. And if I don't get a response from you, I'll know you don't want anything to do with me, and I accept it. So answer the deal yourself so that he can say, no, I do want you, I do want you. Or he can ignore you and let you vote him out of office with you. But write it in the letter, the fifth paragraph. I hope you answered to this. Thank you for reading this down to this point. If you want and you send me a response to it, even if it's no, I will appreciate it. But if you don't respond to it, I will still believe you're saying no, and I will accept it, and I will not reach out to you again.
Okay. One last question. What is the reason
I'm done. Okay.
Thank you, Cara.
I've given you my best information, and you want to talk about why doesn't he do something?
I was going to ask you, why do you think the mail is better than an email, or just why do you think that would be the best way? That was my question.
Why I think the post office? I said the post office at the end. They'll sell you the carton, the package carton, do an overnight. I'm just saying you're sneaking in through the government services.
Okay.
And you're putting an answer. You're putting in there. If I don't hear from you, I'll understand you're saying goodbye.
Okay. So we're going to move on. We've got some more callers waiting. We're going to get another caller on the line right now. Don't forget, www.drpatallen.com is where you sign up for our newsletter so you can hear about all of the things that Dr. Allen is doing and anything we're outputting. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Welcome to the hot seat.
Hello. Let me just turn my... I did it again. Wait a minute. Hello? Yeah, I have a question. I don't know how to get out, so I'm just going to put it in the other room because I can't get it off. I won't turn off. Put it in the other room and forget about it. Yeah, I have a short report and a question to ask you. Is that okay or no?
I don't know. Just do it, and if it gets too long, I'll stop you.
Okay, guys, I do have a question at the end of it. First of all, I stopped a friendship because we fell in love with each other and we're not compatible, which is very painful. My mom just died. My husband died.
I hear your report.
Okay, and then I'm in a group for about 9 weeks now, and I quit it today. And then the gentleman that runs the group called back and said, "We'll miss you." I was kind of longing for him, so I thought it would be the best thing to do to quit. But there's a way out of that. But I've been joining Zoom groups, but they keep getting canceled, so I have no other men right at this point. And there's an app that men say they're interested in you, and I've had quite a response on that.
Darling, I don't want to hear all this data. I want to know the question you want to ask me.
The question is, you're supposed to set up a time and date and video after they're interested in you, but I'm kind of uncomfortable initiating. Is that a good idea or not?
No, because there's things like Bumble where the woman does do the chasing. If you're really interested, you'll either be chased or you'll chase.
I don't want to chase. I don't want to do this app. Okay, then that's it. And I was just longing for that guy, so I quit the group. But I don't want to quit it, I don't think. I don't know.
If you don't know, I can't help you.
Well, I did want to quit today.
I answer questions.
He called back and said, I better stop bothering you. He said he missed me, so I rejoined, but I really don't want to join the group. I don't want to.
Dear, would you please follow your instinct?
I don't want to join. I'm longing for him, and I don't want to do this anymore.
Then would you please stop doing it?
I'm going to quit it. I really want to quit it. I don't want to do it.
What did I say?
He's not interested in me. He's not interested, and I don't want to do it.
Then quit it.
Okay, I'm going to quit it. I'm going to, because I'm longing too much, and it's not comfortable.
Fine.
Is that a good idea?
It is, because it's your idea.
It's what?
It's your idea. You're taking care of yourself. Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. If you don't want the group,
don't
go.
I'm going to call them back up again. I don't want to go. I'm longing too much. It's not comfortable. It's not.
Darling.
Okay, I'll stop. I'm really, you've humbled me very much too, Pat, because I've been making amends to people, and you've really humbled me because you take care of yourself, and I'm a pain in the ass sometimes, so I want to tell you that. So thank you for humbling
me. I want you to know that you're not, but that you've just lost your husband, and you're grieving, and you're lonely, and I understand that. And I want you to go to church. I want you to go to the Zaps.
I can't
and whatever.
Go. My brother doesn't want me going anywhere because of the virus, and I haven't had the shot yet, so I'm really grieving.
I got
I just
news
lost
for
my
you.
Friend.
Have you done your vaccinations?
They're not available yet. They're not. I might be 2 months.
I got
from
news
now.
For you. They're going to be all available within a month.
Okay, great. Then that's good news, and I can go play ping pong and dance and meet people there.
Good. Excellent.
I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends and a lot of people I can meet. I know a lot of ways to meet people.
Why don't we just be with friends instead of finding boyfriends?
I still want to. I'm longing too much, Pat, for this man in this group. I don't want to be in it. I don't want to be in it.
Darling, you already
said that. He doesn't like me. He doesn't want me.
Dear, he has a right to not like you, and you have a right not to speak to him.
Okay, great, because I want to quit. I want to quit. I do. I want to quit.
I want you to hang up because we've said that.
Okay, I am. I'm going to hang up, and thanks for taking care of yourself. You're so wonderful. Thank you.
Now you take care of yourself.
I am. I am. Okay, I will.
Bye, good. Caller.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to remind everybody, Dr. Pat talks about going to church, and while some places in certain states aren't allowing that right now, there is a way to go to church online and Zoom church and do Bible studies, which means you're finding somebody with commonalities, and it's pretty great.
Good.
Hi,
excellent.
Live on the air with the amazing Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have two questions.
Awesome.
Ooh, okay.
So now I love Dr. Pat. I love all your work, Dr. Pat. But I have a kind of interesting question I just wanted to ask about.
All questions are interesting.
Yeah, but this one's kind of like I got an itch. I got to scratch my itch real quick because I just want to know what it means to have like a successful trick or be a successful trick. I'm just interested in that.
What is the question?
What does it mean to be a successful trick or have one?
What does it mean to do what?
Be a successful trick or have a successful trick. I've heard you mention a trick.
A successful. I didn't hear the word after successful.
Trick is the word, T-R-I-C-K. T-R-I-C-K.
Oh, what's a trick? You mean screwing? You mean sex?
Does it involve sex?
Well, I am aware that a trick is usually a reference word for casual sex.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's good
to
know.
Who used the word with you? Did you have a trick?
I haven't. I've heard the word used in terms of trying to get money, I guess.
Oh, what you're saying is you were playing prostitute.
I didn't know what it entailed, so that's why I was.
Well, a trick is casual sex, but when you're talking, I'm hearing prostitute.
Okay.
That's weird. That's a typical term used for prostitution. Turning a trick would be and that would be payment. Yeah. There would be payment involved.
I just wanted to ask that question. My second question is more about the masculine male and in terms of being a woman that wants to be cherished by a respectable man. I found that there are some, and you often talk about how the male, like a true male, is really in touch with his emotions and, you know, does have a good balance.
A gentleman is a man who had a mother figure that required him to cherish her feelings. So he has a tendency to cherish all women's feelings. He's a gentleman.
So when it comes to like a man that it does deserve respect, how can a woman that wants to be cherished, because my question would be, if the man is supposed to surrender to the female, how?
Why would the man surrender to the female?
Okay, that might be something
I don't teach that. Okay. A man who wants respect cannot cherish a woman who does not respect him. He will leave her.
So I guess my question is like, in
a woman who's been raised to be a man cannot respect a man, and therefore she will drive him away and get a man that will be her wife, not her husband.
If there's a man that maybe wants a wife, how in that process of like that courting process, like where along the line, I guess even the question would be like, where do you properly respect his emotions? I'm not sure if that makes sense, but I found
you can't respect emotions. You can accept them or reject them or tolerate them, but you can't respect them because they turn you off. So, do you want to be respected or cherished as a priority?
Cherished.
All right. Do you respect men?
I'm trying to learn how.
I'll give you the five lessons right now. Don't ask him what he feels unless he's puking or bleeding.
Right.
Don't mother him.
Okay.
Second tool. When you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him, you have to make an appointment for the subject and the convenience of his listening. Got that?
Yes.
You can't blurt out mothering phrases. Now, I think you should change that shirt. You don't teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him without an appointment for the subject and the convenience. That's the second tool. The third tool is he's saying or doing something that's irritating you. What you say to him is, you have every right to say that. You had every right to do that. But it was a turnoff for me. I'm not comfortable with it. So do you want to turn me off, or do you want to do something better that helps me feel good? Which is it? And then he'll either go in and stop.
Right,
what?
So what does it look like when women don't say, I'm uncomfortable? Like, does that end up in like sporadic behavior?
That becomes more and more abuse. He insults you the first week. The second week, he shoves you. The third week, he doesn't open the door for you. I want you to understand that sociopathic men very often get ruder and ruder and often can become very violent.
Wow.
So if you don't say, you have a right to say and think that and do that, but it's turning me off. Did you want to turn me off? Just
good.
Fine.
Yes, that's the one I needed.
Okay, and that's the third tool. The fourth tool is 90% of all communication is body language, tones of voice, gestures, rolling eyeballs, huffing and puffing. Here's what you say to him. I sense by the look on your face, the tone of your voice, you're shutting down, that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes or no? I don't want to talk about this. Okay. The fact that you don't want to talk about it tells me you're upset. What can I do to help you and I do better, sir?
Okay.
See that? Respect.
Yeah.
And the fifth tool is time out. Putting your hands together like a referee, signaling with a sign by your hands not your voice, especially if you're afraid to speak. Put your hands up. And he says, what are you doing? I'm signaling you that I'm uncomfortable with what you said and what you did. Are you interested in knowing what I would feel better about? Those are the five tools.
Thank you so, so much.
Good. Are we done?
Yes, yes, yes. And I just feel like I have to just say this. I'm so grateful. Not only do you have such wisdom, but I think each and every time I call, I find that you already have so many just profound tools and setups already in place. So thank you again.
I have been doing this for 50 years.
It's 50 so amazing.
Years.
I'm
a transactional analyst. I'm a marriage, family, child therapist. I'm an alcohol and sex addiction specialist. Other than that, I'm normal.
Thank you for being normal. Thank you for answering my call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. You are anything but normal, thank goodness. Yes.
And by normal, I mean people have said to me about things that I make mistakes, because I make mistakes regularly. They say, how could someone so smart be so stupid? It's very easy. I have a large corpus callosum. I'm a woman. I think and I feel and I act all at the same time. And some of those times are mistakes.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. That is amazing. And you know what, Dr. Allen, I got to tell you, honestly, it's almost
Hello?
Like, oh, hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Awesome. I'm live right now?
Live right now in the hot seat.
Okay, good, good. Hi, Dr. Pat. This is Sean. How are you?
Oh, hi, Sean. You called me some time ago.
And yeah.
I don't think I know that, but I rebuilt my career, so I'm not going to explain it anymore, but that's what I did.
Yeah, yeah, no problem. That's great. No, congratulations to you.
What are you calling me for?
So I had two questions. So I got engaged to my girlfriend back in December.
Oh, did you?
Yes. So
congratulations.
Well, the bad news is she broke off the engagement 2 days ago. So
bad. Sorry about that.
Right. So my question was this. She has this ex-husband that has 100% custody of the kids, and our engagement has to be secret, or our engagement has to be, you know, I guess
Wait
not
a minute,
talked
your
about
engagement
too much.
Is off. Why are we talking about your engagement?
Well, I'm just letting you know how it led to the broken off engagement, and I just had a question on what I should do.
Okay, because you said she broke up the engagement. Now you're asking for engagement advice.
Right. So basically we're engaged for like 2.5 months. And then, you know, I'm constantly not allowed to be around her kids or whatever. And
that's right. That's right.
There was,
the father has custody.
Right. Right. So
but I'm not going to help you break the law.
Right. Right. So she was telling me that they had gone to this birthday party on Sunday, and I had just looked on the Instagram of her daughter's to see the pictures of the party, and I guess it got back around to the ex-husband, and the ex-husband said,
was
you know...
Was that why she broke the engagement? You threatened her family situation?
Right. So basically she says,
Did you do that?
Well, she said I screwed up the situation because I looked at an Instagram picture of the daughters from the birthday.
That's what I'm saying. And the dad saw that you looked, a man looked at his kids?
Yeah, so then she saw, like, the ex-husband said, hey, I need to discuss something with you. Like, you know, I saw that this guy, you know, used to date or whatever, looked, you know, are you still dealing with him or whatever? And basically cut her off from the kids
And now she texts me.
I want you to understand what you didn't know you were doing is such a dangerous thing, but you accidentally made the mistake. Did you know you were not supposed to go near those kids in any way?
Well, I used to take them on trips to like Yosemite and LA, and you know, I used to have a relationship with them, so I've missed them for years.
I got it. Well,
and so I just want to look at the picture, and then when I went to look at the picture, I didn't think much of it. And then yesterday morning or the other morning, she texted me like, "Hey, you screwed up my situation with my girls. This is fucked up. Don't reach out to me. This is over." And I thought, should I apologize or should I just let her have 8 weeks or what
Give
should
her
I
eight
do?
Weeks. Give her 8 weeks and check back with her.
Okay. And
well,
then
she picks the kids over you. That's not unusual.
Right. But after dating her for four and a half years,
you made a mistake.
Yeah, I did.
You didn't know that you had a man that was out to separate his kids from his former wife.
Right.
That's called a mistake. Please don't do anything like that again. That would be cruel to the kids to lose their family and then to lose their mother.
So my question is, when these she goes and goes to see her kids a lot more often, just be okay with it. Don't like, I don't know. I guess sometimes she goes on these things.
Don't, please do not compete with her kids for her attention. Please.
Okay.
Give her all the rope she needs to have kids in her life.
Right. So I actually tried to do that. I just made an honest mistake with that.
Say that? I don't hear anything malicious. Nobody told you you couldn't look at a picture of the kids, but the guy spotted it magically, intuitively, and held it against his ex-wife. Remember, they're exes. So I'm glad you got engaged, and maybe she'll get re-engaged. And you will be sorry you made the mistake and tell her so. Told her you're sorry that you made a mistake?
No, I hadn't. So that's why I was wondering. This has happened like 2 days ago.
So
I was just wondering.
Why don't you send her some flowers and tell her you didn't know that would do this and you wished you hadn't done it, but it was a mistake?
Okay, so should I maybe just like, I mean, she told me not to reach out to her, though. Should I still do that?
I don't consider sending her some flowers with a note that you're sorry you made a mistake. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not asking you to ask her for dinner.
Okay, so basically just send her a note and a card and then just give her 8 weeks.
Yes, please do.
Okay, and in that card, just say sorry. I made a mistake. I wasn't trying to hurt anything for you.
Please come back.
So say sorry. I made a mistake. Will you please come back?
Yes. Why not?
Okay. And what happens if she says, no, then just give her 8 weeks?
Yep, that's true. And then ask her again.
Okay, and do you think that's having a relationship with someone that has to keep it secret and you're engaged? Like, I mean, when the wedding comes up,
Wait a minute. You'll get married in Vegas secretly.
Okay.
This guy is out for blood.
Okay.
Make sure it's not the kid's blood.
Right, but if we get married, I would want to live with her, but that's not, I mean.
No, it's the kids. You just can't have the kids.
Uh-huh. So I could live with her, but the kids can't. No.
No, no family. You had a family with her before.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, and I think, just to let you know, there's two arguments we had before this all happened. Maybe that's kind of what led to it. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. What happened is what happened, and you are living with it, and you're making an amends for it.
Okay, and would you say do this immediately, the note with the cards?
Immediately.
Okay. Okay.
All right, good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Welcome. Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, we doubled our male population.
We did. Now, if our third call, our third male caller, we haven't heard from him in a while, and I hope he's doing well.
Okay.
He was having a rough way to go, but actually, we have five male callers, but we haven't heard from a couple of them in a while. That means hopefully they found somebody on Dr. Pat's tools and are happy.
Hi, that I was actually the caller beforehand.
Hi, caller. Welcome back.
No, but I appreciate that. I just had called from my house line and cell phone, so apologize.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so he must have called in on two different numbers. So,
Yeah,
so I think that your advice for him was really good. And I don't see that really as reaching out either. Sending the flowers with the note. I think it's, like you said, making an amends, which isn't necessarily like reaching out. I mean, it is, but it isn't, so.
Yes, it's like a ritual stroke.
Exactly. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. You are in the hot seat. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
Hi. So I have been dating or have
You have been dating? You've been chasing men?
Nope. I have been dated, or I am being dated.
That's right. The men are dating me.
Men are dating me. Yes, that's better.
That tells me that you know the egg sits and the sperm moves, and you want to be the egg. Sit.
So I've been using your tools and it's going really well. And I have a couple of questions about communication because
That's what I specialize in. I want to make a statement. There are three forms of communication. There's intimidate with fear. You better do it or else I'm going to hurt you. There's seducing. How could you do that to me after all I've done for you? Guilt and shame. And then there's my type, negotiate with love. So there's negotiate, seduce, and intimidate.
Okay.
Anywhere in the world, those are the three forms of communication.
Yeah. That's so helpful. I have been practicing communicating with love to the best of my ability. So recently there's someone I connected with and I didn't
really. And connected was intercourse or not?
No, not.
Okay, you hugged them, you kissed them, but you didn't have intercourse, oral, anal, or vaginal.
Right.
Okay.
Because so
that
a
makes
recent.
A big difference.
Yeah.
Especially for younger women, premenopausal women, and post-andropause men who are switching over to estrogen because the testosterone is going down. And women who are going up on progesterone and the male hormones, so that older women are better men than older men who are better women.
Mm. Dr. Allen, this is someone that I reconnected with from a year ago.
Have you dated him before?
Yeah. Oh, he had dated me before. Yeah.
He had dated you. Mm-hmm. Why did you split up?
So my reason was it didn't, the communication didn't feel consistent, and I didn't feel
what
like
form of communication did he intimidate you with fear or seduce you with guilt and shame?
Neither. It just felt very absent of it, much of anything. And
oh,
so
he
didn't
talk.
Feel
he avoided you. There's three styles of relationships. Secure, that's where you like yourself and you communicate with negotiation. There's anxious, you're scared, you're guilty and ashamed and intimidated. And then there's the worst one, avoidant. You come and go. You don't want to relate at all, periodically.
I think I took it as the last one. I think I tend to be on the anxious side. So I value security maybe more than the next person because I like to have reassurance. And for me, that happens through like regular communication.
Yes.
So I would feel very anxious not hearing from him regularly. And we were long distance.
Well, every man... Yeah. Has 8 weeks to reconnect. That's a normal rumination. Feel things. Gee, I miss her. Why didn't she call me? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, now, left-handed men, ambidextrous men, biologically gay men with the big corpus callosum and an extra amount of estrogen are very, very able to feel and think. And postmenopausal women are great men. So what can I teach you that you need?
Well, I am curious about... So I... felt really discouraged because maybe he has avoidant tendency. I couldn't feel connected because I didn't feel that we were talking really often or about meaningful things. So I shared that with him. And
okay. Did you make an appointment?
I made an appointment.
Oh, yep. Good girl.
Yep, I asked.
And he said
I
yes.
Him and I asked him
and
if
he
I
listened
share.
To you tell you about his tell him about your bad feelings.
Yep, he did. I asked him if I could share uncomfortable feelings. He said yes.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. So what happened to that?
So I shared the feelings with him, and I told him that I felt disconnected and that the way I receive connection is through communication and depth. And he told me, which is not the first time I've heard this, Dr. Allen, that he feels that he wants to be appreciated too, and he's not the only person reaching out.
Well, you see, the problem is, are you in a committed relationship?
No.
Then tell him, I'm not going to respect you or cherish you both. That's narcissism. I will initiate things when you ask me to be your girlfriend. I will make sure that I am appreciating whatever you do to cherish me, everything, and I will give back to you. But we're not in a committed relationship, and I don't want to be equal. I want to be cherished by you. And I will respect you see, to lead me where you want me to go. Otherwise,
okay.
It's just narcissism. I want, I think, I feel, I don't want. Makes money for therapists and doctors and the police, but it doesn't make love.
Yeah.
I teach waltzing, not slam dancing.
Yeah.
See, I like that. When men want equality, they don't want responsibility. Gentlemen know that they're built to give, protect, and cherish women and children. That's why they're bigger. Okay?
Yeah.
So 2-to-1 ratio is what I see that balances a masculine man and a feminine woman. But not until the courtship is done. And that means that you and he decide you're going to be in a monogamous, continuous, long-term relationship in which you get cherished first and respected second, and he gets respected first for leadership and cherished second.
Yeah.
Have you read Getting to I Do?
Yeah. I didn't actually, I purchased it for 2 friends, Dr. Allen. I shipped it to them because I had told them to purchase it and they were taking too long. And I was like, you need this right now.
Have you read It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe?
No, not yet.
That's mine. And that teaches about how to be an I, be a we, about raising kids, about being in families.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to
go. All right.
No. Yes. Can I ask another question? So with this communication, it's not only about frequency, it's also about depth and like getting to know him. And so I've noticed that since I told him about my uncomfortable feelings, he's been reaching out more. But I still would like to go deeper in terms of communication. But I also
I got news for you. I don't even approve of you questioning him.
I know. That's why I was about to
I want him to question you.
Okay. But what you want to
be, look, do you want to be respected or cherished or both?
Cherished, definitely.
Well, if you want to be cherished, he's got to ask you the questions that cause him to want to mate or marry with you.
Yeah.
I don't approve of you interviewing him. You see?
Yeah.
Well, that's mothering.
Okay.
Men have to get away from mother by the age of 10. Girls have to pull daddy close by the age of 8. Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard. Freud is very big on fathers to daughters, mothers to son. A man named Applebaum wrote a book called Fathers and Daughters.
Okay. So I just follow his lead on wherever the conversation goes.
You follow unless you have to call the police, a doctor, a lawyer. You don't do immoral, unethical, or illegal things.
Right.
You say okay. No. Women get what they want when they know what they don't want. It leaves space for the good stuff.
Yeah. All righty, Dr. Allen. I'll continue to follow his lead. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Call again.
Okay, our switchboard is going to get us hooked up with them, and they're going to get to take a seat in the hot seat and have a little chat with you, Dr. Allen.
Okay.
I want to remind everybody the call-in number is 323-203-0815. Paula, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hello.
Hello.
I remember a podcast weeks ago, you said something about like a jealous mother. And I feel like I have a lot of problems with my mom. I get angry. I don't feel heard.
Are you talking about jealousy?
Yeah, I think my mom's jealous of me. Like, she brags about me and my accomplishments.
Wait a minute. It's a woman envious of you? Jealous is territorial. Envy wants you dead and wants to be you in your body when you're gone.
I think that's my mom, Envy.
Then read. There's a book, and it's called Cinderella and Her Sisters. By Olenoff.
Okay. I'll definitely.
Olenoff, Ulanov. The whole book is about envy between women.
Mm-hmm. Because she has bipolar, or she might be borderline. I don't know. They diagnosed her with so many things.
So what you're saying is, this your mother's disabled?
Yes.
Well, if she's disabled, please give her space for being disabled and not take what she says seriously.
I just feel like she always bothers me, and then she makes me feel bad that I don't talk to her or call her or reach out, but, like, I've been neglected by...
Do you have a plan? How many times a week do you call her?
Zero.
Well, she gave you life.
Mm-hmm.
Can you call her once a week and say how much you love her and wish her well? And is she in a hospital? Is she at home? Where is she?
No, she's fully functioning because the 7-day events has helped her, which is fine. But she'll try to throw Bible stuff at me, and
Her once a month? Have you any program? Remember, you're going to go to her funeral, and you're going to feel horrible if you don't have some program of appreciation for her giving you life.
Yeah, maybe I hate my mom. Yeah, that's the problem.
What?
Maybe I don't like my mom very much. That's what bothers me.
I understand that. I'm talking about you feeling good that you gave her something. I want to hear what pattern of attention do you want to give this disabled person?
I guess I'll try to just give her once a week call.
How much?
Once a week.
Once a week you will what? Visit her? Call her? What are you going to do?
Call her?
You're going to call her and say, how are you, Mom?
I guess, what am I supposed to say? She always wants to know.
You're supposed to say, did you do anything fun?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Show interest.
Okay. Even if I have to fake it?
Especially if you have to fake it. I want you to feel good at her funeral.
Yeah. And then I think it ties with my relationships. Like, I just don't have it.
What?
And I feel like it ties into my relationships, and I don't want to end up a sinner, or whatever you talk about.
Are you in a relationship? Are you having a relationship with somebody?
No.
Well, why would one phone call interfere with your relationship if you got one?
I just feel like maybe I have control anger issues. I don't know.
Well, do you want to hurt her?
No. No, not at all.
She's brain damaged.
I know, and I just feel bad that I don't talk to her. So you're right. I need to just do it.
I got news for you. Once a week is enough.
Yeah. But she always asks about, are you dating? Are you married? And I don't want to talk about that stuff with her.
I don't want you to talk. I want you to listen to her talk for... Do you know those egg glasses that are 3 minutes?
No.
Well, they're egg timers.
Mm-hmm.
Can you listen to her for 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Then get a timer and listen to her for 3 minutes and say, gotta go, Mom. Bye. Love you.
And then it doesn't, she feels like it's not enough, so she makes me feel bad that it's not ever enough. She makes me feel bad that it's never enough.
Honey, you can't hear that. All you're going to do is set the timer on, and when it goes off, say, gotta go, Mom, bye, love you. 3 minutes, a 3-minute phone call, listening to your mom lecture you.
Okay.
Will you do that so you will be able to go to her funeral?
Yeah. You're right.
Got it. Try it. So you'll feel better.
Okay.
You will feel better.
But I guess what's my life script if I've just been emotionally neglected by both parents?
Honey, I understand that being the daughter of a disabled person is not the best deal. I have a disabled daughter, and it's not the best deal. Mm-hmm. My other daughters took her away to Texas where she'd be safer as a disabled person because she was dismantling my house. Do you understand? I have a disabled daughter. And my other daughters took her away and finished taking care of her in Texas. So if I can do it, you can do it.
I hope so.
Get a 3-minute egg timer. Just try it for a week. 3-minute egg timer. They're just little sandbags. What?
Maybe she wants more time.
Honey, I don't care what she wants. It's you're going to listen to her talking, and then you're going to go.
Okay.
3 minutes, egg timer.
Okay.
Got it? Report back next week.
I will. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Bye.
3 minute.
Do you have anything else? What?
I'm checking in with our switchboard right now.
Okay.
I said that's interesting. The 3 minute egg timer is an interesting concept.
That's a behavioral technique.
Yeah. I just wonder. You know, she seems very reticent, like perhaps her mother will not let her hang up, but she has control because she can hang up.
That's right. I just gave her a timer and told her just to listen to her mother talk.
It's ironic how long 3 minutes can actually be.
Not if you're just listening only and not fighting.
Right.
This girl wants to fight with her mother, but she will feel really bad when she can't go to the funeral peacefully.
I agree. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Of course I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
So let's see, you've been in a relationship for about a year and a half. I'm a total alpha female, and I'm dating a total beta male. And
you're an alpha? You're an alpha?
Yes.
All right. Is he a good lay?
Yes, that he is.
Well, then we all want to either be laid or paid. You decided you wanted a wife, not a husband.
No, actually, I didn't. He was showing me a lot of signs of being the male, but as we were getting to the relationship, he was getting more and more comfortable. So the feminine side started coming out and I started seeing
I got it. So why didn't you end it?
Initiative.
Is he good enough, Slay, that he's 51% valuable to you?
Well, here's the thing. That 51% question, first of all, I was not shooting for LA. I was actually shooting to get paid, not late. And this just...
Well, did you not find out he had no money?
He's doing all right with money. He's comfortable. He's not wealthy,
all
but
right.
he's comfortable.
So if you've got money and he's got money and he's feminine, then you're basically running the show.
So I was trying to be I was trying to fake beta, but he out-beta me, essentially.
I understand that because he's a natural beta.
I know.
You're an artificial.
I know, whereas I was faking it. faking it and I couldn't hide it for too long. Here's a challenge, though. So I'm trying to flip this game and be like, okay, well, I'm the alpha. You know, he's out beta me. So I'm just going to assume my role as an alpha and just run the show. And then
I love it.
Right, but from time to time, he flips on me because he was raised by a mom that respected him and all that. And when I'm just disrespecting him because some of his decisions are just a waste of time, he gets agitated because he's used to his mom
treating
him.
He's not that female. Wait a minute, pal. He's not that female.
Right, but then he'll come back. He won't make the decision eventually. And he'll come back to make the decision. So I'm confused. Am I supposed to make the decision? Am I not supposed? Is there a way?
No, you're not supposed to make the decision because he has more balls than you thought.
Okay.
His mother cherished him enough for him to feel secure as a man. Do you understand that?
Right. Yes.
Did your dad respect you enough that you could be with the feminine beta?
Ooh,
was your dad a beta?
My dad was an alpha, actually. But
all right.
he
are
was
you
an alpha.
Son or are you his daughter?
Probably his son. Probably his son.
Okay. Then you have a man who wants to be your wife. But he wants you to pretend you respect him. That's
okay.
Fake beta. You disrespect him and he's healthy enough to reject you.
Okay.
So you better back down, pal. What?
Because his mom raised him and respecting him. So even though
yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not really that smart, but he's a good lay and he's a good wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then you better be nice to him or has he already dumped you?
No. He's around. He's very loving and caring.
I know that because he was raised by a loving woman and he wants another one. Namely you.
And I'm very loving and caring. Like, I'm cherishing him, essentially.
I understand that.
Your podcast. Use
your brains to make money, not to rebuild him into a wuss. He was built into a man.
Right. What do I do when he does get, like, a little... agitated? How should I approach things?
You should say,
I mean,
what
like,
can I do to help you and I feel better?
Okay.
Feel better.
All right.
Not do better. Feel better.
Right. Okay.
How old a man is he?
He's 38.
Okay. He's female. He's masculine hormone-wise. But he is accustomed to being respected by a mother that wanted to be cherished by him, and I bet he did cherish her. You cannot mm-hmm. treat him disrespectfully. He will leave you.
Okay. So, see, that's what's confusing. So, because you usually
no, it's not
either cherish
you
or respect.
You needed to talk to me about the fact that he was raised by a respectful mom that helped mm-hmm. him feel good. And he expects women to help him mm-hmm. feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't ask him, what can I do to help us do good? You're smarter than he is. But you're so smart, you're going to fake beta.
So when I'm trying to get him to do something,
you've got to make an appointment, make a okay. request, ask him what he thinks about it or feels about it, depending on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So you have to respect him. He's been raised too well to be disrespected.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And with that, I'm going to have to interrupt because we are out of time. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go?
Thank you.
The way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? What do I have that I don't want? Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
I love that one. Bye, everybody. Until next time, be safe and take care. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.